Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Michelin Pilot Challenge
on IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to the 50th anniversary year of Morbil One, and the 12 Hours of Sebring is with us once again. It is that time of the year as we are at the home of the original home of Formula One in the United States of America, and of course, the birthplace of endurance racing. Sebring International Raceway playing host this weekend to IMSA. Good to have your company. It's John Heindorf and Jeremy Shaw with you for this coming session for free practice one of the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge. Good morning, Jeremy. How are you? It seems a moment since I last saw you.
Fabulous. I mean, how wonderful is it to be here at Sebring? I mean, gosh, I was at St. Pete last weekend, which is a really good weekend. But boy, the amount of people here already on a Wednesday is...
Were you at the track yesterday? Yesterday morning, no. When we got in, it was busy. By right. The time I left middle of yesterday afternoon, it was incredible.
Yeah.
The whole of the parking down, the new parking, what I still want to call the new parking, down to driver's left on the Ullman Straight, full. Full by yesterday.
Well, but that's all team parking, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Do you know how many trucks there are here to be parked?
Oh, come on then.
222, Mr. Pettit told me this morning. 222 race team or support trailers. Put them nose to tail, 3 miles. Which they got it's literally from the entire length of the Ullman Straight there in the paddock area is lined top. Except the biggest field, your biggest entry of cars we've ever had for a Sebring event here. It's going to be the biggest crowd here as well. Oh, it's just fantastic.
And there were people who said no one will turn up because the WEC is not here. Well, this event existed long before that and will continue.
Yeah.
Quite clearly, we have a mere 39 entries here, which is split between 27 and 12, 27 in the GS category, which are the GT4 cars, and then the global TCR category has got a round dozen. And off the back of their first two long races of the season at Daytona, Jeremy, the next one we won't see until the Michelin Pilot Challenge is headlining at Mid-Ohio. But here for the Alan J. Automotive Network 120. 120 is the giveaway. It's the two hour duration, as always, and or as bar two races of the season. Any big changes? Because we'll have gone down. We'll have lost some drivers because they were quote unquote the endurance drivers.
Yeah.
But an immensely impressive field here with very few dropouts since Daytona.
No, There's a few cars missing out of TCR. Surprisingly, the Victor Gonzalez racing team is not here, and I don't know why. So I only got here yesterday. I only saw the entry list a couple of days ago, and I was already at St. Peter. I haven't had time to do any kind of proper homework on that. So I don't know why Victor is not here this weekend, because he ran three cars at Daytona, and so I don't know what's happened. But we certainly miss Victor Gonzalez, because that's a team that is based from all over the Caribbean region. It's a really cool team. He's from Puerto Rico, but a lot of his crew guys from all around the region in Central America, if you like. So we miss them. But we've got a new car in TCR for Starcom Racing. That is, the team is owned by Derek Cope, is the team principal there, 1990 Daytona 500 winner. Team owner in the NASCAR ranks. I think it was his franchise was taken over by Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin's team, isn't it? What, for over the last couple of years. But Derek Cope is a he loves his road racing. He's done had a lot of success in the Xfinity series as well, and he's dipping his toe in the waters here with a Hyundai Elantra, with none other than Andy Lally as his team, one of his team drivers. The other driver is Nick Tucker, who's mainly raced in NASCAR events as well, in Xfinity and in trucks and other such series. And Nick Tucker is also the team principal at Nitro Motorsports, who is running in the Toyota GR86 Cup Series as well. But it's going to be Nick Tucker and Andy Lally. And great to see Andy back in this championship. And he's had a lot of success in the past over the years. Done a total of 126 starts in the Michelin Challenge in the past. But his most recent race was at Watkins Glen back in 2017, I think. So it's been a while for Andy. And he's super excited to be driving this front-wheel drive Hyundai this weekend. That's kind of a 12 then, new to the championship. We've got a couple of other new entries for this weekend. One of which is the CDR Valkyrie Toyota Supra, car number 66. That is another brand new team to this championship, run out of California. One of the drivers, Brian Locke, is a name that might be semi-familiar to Pilot Challenge aficionados. He did a handful of races or so about 10 years ago in a Subaru, which was unusual. Had some success too, had a pole, had a podium finish as well. He's from Santa Cruz in California. That was back in 2006 he made his debut, so a long time ago, and a very talented driver, Brian Locke. He's been driving primarily in West Coast club events for the last kind of 15 years.
Early penalty for the Aston Martin Vantage GT of Todd Coleman for leaving the pit box early. Shay will have her head in her hand somewhere listening to this. Good morning to all of you here at Sebring International Raceway. 100.9 FM around the circuit. That's the frequency for the PA. And, of course, if you're travelling around, particularly on Saturday, or if you've got friends in the region, remind them that we'll be taking over the airwaves of Highlands ESPN 1063 AM, as well, of course, as Sirius XM 206 and RS2 all around the world, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels. John Hinoff and Jeremy Shaw in the Global Broadcast Centre, just downwind of the stripe here on this fantastically historic piece of concrete. I think it said tarmac there, you see, but it is concrete right ahead of us. And wherever you are joining us in the world, having a listen in this this week, which has a number of very important anniversaries. You'll see one or two of the Mobil 1 cars in special liveries. Just been having a look at the Lexus and the Corvettes for the Michelin Pilot Challenge. We'll see those guys on track tomorrow. They're about 24 hours behind in terms of setup at the moment. We've just had a cruise, literally had a cruise down the paddock area. My goodness, you realise, Jeremy, don't you, how long that Ullman Strait is when you go the full length of the paddock and see how many cars you can fit in there. And it took a reasonable time to go that down there. Looks absolutely fantastic, and one of the hallmarks of IMSA is the open paddock access. So if you come across one of the walkover bridge onto the pit side of things, make sure you have a wander down.
And give yourself plenty of time, because
it's a long, old walk. I tell you, yeah. A place where you had the golf cart. Still a lot of setup going on, as I say, for the WeatherTech teams. So just be careful there, because there's people moving stuff around. As I say, they're about 24 hours behind everybody else. That's deliberate, to allow the paddock area to come in sections, as it were. So this is a one-hour session, Jeremy, and it's an all-skate, so we should be seeing everybody out at some stage, all of the 39 cars. Actually, hang on a second, I've got 40 cars on the screen here.
Oh, great.
Oh, right, okay, start ticking them off. Here we go. Well, there's an easy way to find out. Well, there's 14 TCRs on that list, and 26 GSs. So that's completely different to what I have. I have 27 and 12. So there we go then.
Oh, good. It's Victor Gonzalez. Okay, fine.
So Victor Gonzalez is back.
Great. I don't know why he was not on the entry list.
So who have we lost from GS then in that case? That means I'll have to have a wee look through. I need the use of a mouse for that to be able to... I shall go through that in a moment. Early times coming in. Fierce competition. Mark Miller doing double duty.
Yeah.
I saw him nipping up to the roof earlier on to do some spotting. He was in his race suit ready to go for this session, but he was heading up to the roof with his headset on to go and help out with Thiers. He's instrumental in the Thiers team. Very, very proud that this is a team from just around Detroit, Michigan, and he is a lad from that area. He's loving that.
Yeah, he is, and he's got a new co-driver for this weekend, Josh Green, who's a youngster from New York, just outside of New York, Mount Kisco, New York. He's been plying his trade on the open wheel ranks for the last several years. Very much a youngster, just 21 years of age is Josh, but he was in November, former Team USA scholarship winner, and had some success in the F1600, then moved into the USF Pro Championships. Success there, moved up to Indy Next for the last kind of year and a half, but struggled to get make the budgets work there. So when this opportunity to join Thiers competition came up, he jumped at it. And this is going to be his first race in a sports car. I think he has tested the car briefly, but this will be his first race with a roof over his head for Josh Green, sharing that number 78 car with Mark Miller.
He'll not go back. I tell you, once you've had
he'll love it.
He'll absolutely love this. So, yeah, Victor Gonzalez, an addition to your entry list then, with the number 99 VGRT, Victor Gonzalez Racing Team Hyundai Elantra. Victor's just gone out in that car. I'm trying to see who else we've got. Starcom were on the list, but that's a new name to the championship.
That's what I was talking about with Derek Cope as the team principal there, and Andy Lally making his comeback to this championship.
Nice to see.
He's
those
so excited
guys
to be driving. I haven't had a chance to ask Andy. Has he? I'm trying to think if he's driven a front-wheel drive car before.
Ooh, good call. Morgan Burkhart is out in the second of the Victor Gonzalez Racing Team as an addition. That's the number 80. And then it's a question of counting the other cars in.
Yeah, so those are the two extra entries, 80 and 99 then in TCR.
Yes, so that's your extra two.
Morgan Burkhart was at Daytona. Mm-hmm. He shared that car there with Julian Santero from Argentina. Another very rapid driver.
So now I've got to work out which GS car we're missing.
Okay. Tell me, we've got 26, have we?
Yes. Yes, we have. So we're up on the deal.
Yep.
Plus two in TCR.
Doesn't work on my pages, though, unfortunately.
Oh, that might have to be a reprint tonight, Jeremy. Jeremy Shaw, by the way, is the person in the United States of America who buys the most inkjet cartridges. These rainbow charts.
Shh, don't talk about that, because I'm using IMSA's one this weekend.
Well, I didn't say that, you see. You dobbed yourself in there, Sean.
I know. I've got to be honest. I can't lie.
Trent Hindman to the top with the Porsche 718 GT4 RS. Trent Hindman.
Former series champion.
Yeah, with driving this year. And what a lineup this is with Stephen McAlee.
Yeah.
I talked with Stephen yesterday. We'll have the interview in Midweek Motorsport, which will be live over on RS1 from 4 o'clock this afternoon here in what is now summertime, daylight savings time here in the US. So if you're listening back in Europe, remember that we've come an hour closer to you when you're looking at the time conversion. Stephen says if he doesn't win the championship this year, he will actually be disappointed.
Well, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, yeah, with that pairing, Trent Hindman, he was the youngest ever Michelin Pilot Challenge champion when he won in 2014. So lots of success in this championship, and getting those two drivers back together again at RS1, that is going to be a really, really stout combination.
And RS1 know how to run those cars as well.
Again, multi-time champions in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. So You know, that whole organisation is really, really stout. And, that pairing is going to be hard to beat. They started off the season with the kind of strategy didn't work out their way for the first round of the season. So they got a bit of ground to make up in the championship. But they did come away with a seventh place finish, so good points there for the opening race of the season. That was one of the teams that did have a third driver for that opening round. Austin Crines was alongside Stephen McAleer and Trent Hindman, but it'll be Stephen and Trent who will complete the season.
And he will be back for the four-hour race at Mid-Ohio, which is Michelin Pilot Challenge topping the bill.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's
going to
be fun.
I really do. The teams are loving it. They get their chance to be the main event, if you will. And on that circuit, newly resurfaced as well. Well, who knows? Who knows what we're going to see? Trent then back on top. Michael Di Casada for a moment just taking the best time for motorsport in action in the McLaren Artura GT4. The Artura exceptionally quick last weekend on the streets of St. Pete in the VP Racing Sports Car Challenge, the other IMSA championship that runs the GT4 cars, just a single driver in that 45-minute race. And Jesse Lazar absolutely bossed the first race, had to work a little bit harder in the second race and actually overtake for the lead. But the Artura is clearly finding its feet in GT4 specification and is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And it was two good races, as you said, 1 week ago on the streets. And those cars, they run as GSX alongside the LMP3 cars in the VP Racing Sports Car Challenge. But they are the same specifications exactly as the GT4 cars that run here in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. So the information carries straight over. I was talking to the MIA guys, Motorsports in Action team, at St. Pete one week ago, and the original plan, they did the races at Daytona, but they weren't planning to do the full season initially in the VP Racing Sports Car Challenge. But they had such a good time there. It was good track time, good additional track time. And they decided, okay, we're going to do the full series. For them, budgetarily, it made sense for them, because at some of the events we go to, they're on the same weekend. Normally, they're on the same weekend as the Michelin Pilot Challenge to get more track time.
Yeah,
in exactly the same configuration, circumstances, weather conditions, track conditions, everything else. So for them, it made sense. And okay, St. Pete isn't a round of Pilot Challenge, but it's still a good opportunity for them to get onto a street circuit and learn more about the car, because it's not an unlimited budget team. It's not a factory team. They are the only McLaren that's running full-time in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. So it was just really good information for them. And they came away with the two wins last week. One of them had to come from behind in the later stages. But it was a really a great event for them. And they come here now with some really good more momentum, because they had a strong run at Daytona in Pilot Challenge as well.
What sort of lap time should we be looking for? We're under 2 minutes 20 already with we're under 2 minutes 12 rather already with a 2:10 in fact. 2:10.
You're worried there.
Yes. I was looking at the last lap and I realised I'd already seen something quicker than that. We've got 2, 3, 4 cars on the 2:10, 2:11 in a GS.
Yeah, no, they should be pretty happy with that. That sub-track record for Trent Hindman, yeah.
All right, in the first 15 minutes, first, lovely.
Yeah, that lap 4, 2 minutes 10.296, I think, for Trent Hindman, car number 28, the Porsche Cayman. The lap record here was set, well, the qualifying lap record was a 2:10.5. That was set by Owen Trinkler in a Mercedes back in 2019. The race lap record, however, is a little bit faster. That was set last year by Robbie Foley in a BMW, 2 minutes 10.378. So quicker than that already in this session has been Trent Hindman. In TCR, the lap record in qualifying, which is the outright record here, is 2:11.796. That was set last year by Matt Pombo in a Honda.
Quite down to that, yeah.
No.
Not quite down to that yet.
But the car we're missing, by the way, from the entry list is a number 14 Skip Barber Racing Aston Martin Vantage, unfortunately. And particularly with all Skip Barber Racing's history here at Sebring, having been based here for many, many years in the infield over there. That car was crashed, unfortunately, at Daytona during practice, so didn't start. But for some reason, is has been taken off the official entry list, having been on the provisional.
Well, that's interesting, because that car isn't on this entry list that says 27JS. I haven't got that car. 16. My apologies. Yes, you're right. Absolutely.
So that car has been...
scratch that one.
So it looks like we've got the remaining 26 then, are we? Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sharpie of Doom.
Compared to Daytona, the only two cars, I think, that are new here are the number 66 car I talked about a little while ago. That's the CDR Valkyrie Toyota GR Supra GR4. That's Amir Halim and Brian Locke, the ex-Subaru driver. They're going to be running... They're running in bronze category. Brian's a bronze driver, is he? Not surprising. Okay. That's car number 66. The other car that's new here that didn't run at Daytona is the second of the Zabok Simpson Motorsports Porsche Cayman 718 GT4 RSs. Car number 2. They ran just the one car at Daytona with three drivers. For this weekend, they've got the same three drivers, and they've added a fourth, that being Jackson Lee. And it'll be Jackson Lee who'll be sharing Gordon Scully in the number 2 car for the first time here this weekend.
And he raced in the VP Challenge last weekend on the streets of St. Pete.
In an Aston Martin.
Different
team, different car. He'd never driven the Aston Martin.
He did all right, actually.
He did extremely well. He'd never driven an Aston Martin before first practice on the streets of St. Pete. To run well and to lead most of the second race 1 week ago for Jackson Lee was a very strong weekend for him. Unfortunately, he got kind of snookered in the final restart in the second race. He kind of snookered himself, in my opinion, because he left too much of a margin to the LMP3 cars in front of him. And Jesse Lazar in the McLaren took full advantage of that, snuck past him at a restart and went on to win the race.
Yeah.
But for my money... Jackson was in the wrong there for leaving too much of a gap, and I think
they were coming back to the restart, yeah, weren't they, through 13 and 14,
yeah,
the hairpin there,
yeah,
and the pass was made before they got onto the runway,
yeah, but there was probably 100 yards between them and the LMP3 field, and you know the rules are you have to stay with the car in front irrespective of what class he is in.
I think the worry was, and we saw this, didn't we, in the first race, that actually the GT cars were as quick, if not quicker, through the corners than the back of the LMP3 field.
Yeah, true.
And
he'd
clearly seen that in the previous race. Let's get back to what's going on here. Coming up to 20 minutes, it is RS1 and the Porsche ahead of the McLaren from Motorsports in Action, Mia Motorsports. Then Paul Holton for Team TGM, just going out in the Vantage, number 46. Michael Cooper for Baby Bull Racing in the first of two Porsches in fourth and fifth. That's the 44 and the 38 for Spencer Pumpelly for BGB Motorsports. Then it's Windward Racing and Daniel Morad in the number 57. Daniel been doing a lot of work online with Bryce Ward. Various simulations that they've been trying, race starts, all kinds of things. Had a long chat with Russell yesterday evening. They come here in both of these championships with real hope, and they really feel there's something for them. They're really pumped up at Wynwood at the moment. Just got the news as well that their European operation based in Altenbach in Germany will be adding another car. Running the Pro car for AMG in the European series, as well as the two DTM cars as well. So they're doing a cracking job. And then behind them, it is Luca Mars for Core Motorsports, Matt Travis for Nola Sport, Robin Liddell out for Rebel Rock Racing in their Aston Martin, and Ted Giovannis makes up the top 10 in GS. In TCR, it's John Morley for Roadshagger Racing in the Audi from the similar car of Unitronic JDC, although one's dark grey, the 61 and the 17 is black and yellow. And in third place in TCR, the first of the Hyundai Atlantis is Morgan Burkhart for the number 80 machine.
Yeah, he's going to be sharing that car with Chase Jones from Indianapolis, making another debutant in this championship. He's taken over then from Julian Santero. I think not available this weekend, probably racing in Argentina.
A problem for Reardon Racing and the number 21 car. That's had a little incident out on the circuit over at Turn 7. Is rolling, but slowly at the moment, according to race control. That's Jake Pedersen on his out lap in that Porsche 718 GT4 RS Club Sport. I was hoping to be able to get the binoculars out and see the far side of the track today, but you lot have filled in the infield so quickly I can't see anything. It's incredible out there. Absolutely incredible. Normally at this time of the week, I can see through the trees all the way across to the far side of the circuit and then even possibly see them on the way back to Jean de Bian Bent. Not a chance with all the RVs and everything over there. Thank you for supporting IMSA, all of you who have turned up in your tens of thousands. 100.9 FM here at Sebring. Every time the PA is on, then you can hear us on that. For the big race on Saturday, Sirius XM 206, tell your friends. No interruptions on that. And if you've got friends in this area, we'll be taking over the airwaves of Highlands ESPN 1063 AM across the Central Highlands region. And, of course, RS2 all the way around the world. If you're outside the US or you've got friends outside of the US, we'll be running the video for starting tomorrow for all of the races. In fact, actually, even if you're in the States tomorrow, Porsche, Mazda, WeatherTech qualifying, all available to everybody, and all the races plus WeatherTech qualifying available outside the US as well. Now we've got a car stopped at turn 13. It's the BGB Motorsports car. Spencer Pumpelly was in that last I looked, Jeremy. And I think that is the case now. That's turn 13, far side of the track.
That's not good. That's another guy who we expect to be running strongly here this weekend. Very distinctive. Well, it's a very, very deep, dark purple and green colour for that BGB number 38 Porsche. Spencer sharing that car with Tom Collingwood this weekend. Tom had a good run in the VP race last weekend as well.
Yes.
So no change at the top. It's still that time set very early on by Trent Hindman at 2 minutes 10.296. Second fastest, just 3 tenths of a second back, is Michael De Quesada in the lone McLaren Artura in this race. Kind of a 69, 2 minutes 10.8. And 2 minutes 10.9 for Paul Holton. Okay, he's in it. That's a name that wasn't on my entry list. What's he driving, the number 46 car?
Right. Well, that's Matt Plum and Owen Trinkler now.
Owen's not here then, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
Owen, of course, had that horrific accident at Daytona, well, incident at Daytona in testing in December, where the car caught fire and he got severely burned. He made his comeback for the four-hour race at Daytona and
absolutely nailed an Ironman stint. He was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, and I think he probably maybe did he overdo it? I haven't heard from him. I haven't spoken to him since. So
I'll send him a note.
He was on the entry list, and I haven't heard from him. His original plan for Daytona was just to do the minimum time and get out. Well, he didn't. He stayed in for a long time. So I'm hoping that didn't do him more harm than good.
Well, we'll get some news.
So Paul Holton's a name that we've seen in this car, in this series, in the past. He drove a McLaren, I think, one race last year. So he's been around for a while. but he's going to be driving number 46 currently appeared, and he's on the revised entry list here alongside the regular driver Matt Plum. In the last several years, number 46 car has been shared by the Plum brothers. This is the second of the team TGMs, TG being Ted Giovannis. He drives the number 64 car. For the last several years, he's driven, shared that car with Owen Trinkler. And then the two Plum brothers, Matt and Hugh, shared the number 46. That team, managed by another former champion in the forerunner of this series, Joe Vardy, they made the decision to split up their pairings so that the brothers would be split, and Ted would drive with Hugh Plum, and they would run as a bronze category entry,
yes,
in car number 64. And then Owen, who isn't a bronze-rated driver, would switch across to share number 46 with another former series champion, Matt Plum. But again, that plan has apparently gone awry. This weekend, it'll be Paul Holton stepping into that number 46 car.
Just checking for improvements last time around. Mark Miller went quicker in the two, now down to 212 flat. In the number 78 phase competition, I mentioned the CMG, fairly new, dipped their toe in last year. He's coming to the pits as well this time around. You've got the usual tight battle at the front with the top six within a second, and then behind that, the next nine within the next seconds, remarkably. It's the usual story. My screen full of dancing ants is pretty full. Not very many gaps on the circuit at the moment, despite the fact that we've got a few of the teams coming in to swap drivers at the moment. Half the field have pitted. It still looks pretty busy out there, and that's going to be a real strategic nightmare and conundrum come the race on Friday for the Alan J Automotive Network 120. When to come in, how to come in, managing the traffic, any safety cars, etc. Because with just 2 hours, you don't have an awful long time to be able to recover if you get something wrong. So, half distance coming up in about a couple of minutes' time. And this is the first free practice session for the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge here at Sebring International for 2024. Beautiful weather at the moment. It is 25 Celsius in the air, 23 on the track. Interesting, the track temperature hasn't caught up with the air temperature yet. Or if you prefer, that's 73 Fahrenheit on the track, 77 in the air. A sticky 67% humidity at the moment, and no wind to talk about.
Just looking at Paul Holton's last race in this championship. It was back in 2019. He was part of Crucial Motorsports, which was running a McLaren. They ran a few races last year in this championship. Unfortunately, not back again this year. But the last race that Paul drove, I'd say, was back in 2019. A lot of success in TCR in particular. But from Tallahassee, Florida, so we've not got too far to come to be here. And welcome back to the paddock, Paul Holton.
Yeah, and had plenty of success in a variety of cars.
23 years of age. Sorry, Paul.
Yeah. Plenty of success down through the years in a variety of machinery. Yeah. Pretty much a plug-and-play accessory, and undoubtedly that is why he got the call, Jeremy.
Yeah.
No muss, no fuss. Somebody who knows the series, even though he's been out of it for a little while. He knows what his job is. Come in, get up to speed, and crack on. That's exactly what he's doing at the moment. So Jake Pedersen did get the Porsche back to the pits after that incident out of turn 7, and who was was the other car? Was the 88, wasn't it? See where that car got to. Todd Coleman. Yeah, that car's got back to the pits as well. So that's good news. We have 22 cars on track at the moment, and that's quite busy. 17 cars in the pits. 39. I think that count is wrong, actually, because I think we've got 40 cars out there. Ah, sorry, I missed a column. One stopped. There you go. So maybe the 88 didn't get back to the pits then. My apologies, but it is showing as that on the screen. It was the 38. It was Spencer Pumpelly, wasn't it, that got stopped out there at turn 13, and that car still greyed out. So that's awful, because they're losing running time. It's a pretty well-established team, BGB Motorsports, Jeremy, but nobody likes to lose time. Spencer Pumpelly knows his way around here. Thomas Collingwood, he's done some Porsche Carrera Cup as well, of course, so he should know his way around here. But you do not want to be losing time early on in the week. You want to be out there turning laps.
Yeah, you do. You do. You talked about changes to the entry list. Not a change to the entry list, but certainly a change of colours this weekend. The number 71 Rebel Rock Aston Martin ran in the zebra livery at Daytona, didn't it? And also was running with Frank Dupuy last weekend at BP Racing Sports Car Challenge at St. Petersburg, again in that same zebra livery, just black and white stripes. Here this weekend, though, dark green with a very sharp red highlights on that car as well. Looks really, really, really nice. That's a new Evo GT4 Aston Martin, the only car running to Evo spec here this year in IMSA.
And that's why it was running that camouflage colour, because the street car on which it is based had not been released, and there was a sort of unspoken gentleman's agreement from everybody, including the photographers, not to take too many close-ups of that car at Daytona, and everybody played the game. I thought it was really good. It was very funny, actually, Jeremy. I was talking to somebody who was very excited about the launch of the Aston Martin Vantage, and on the Monday that it came out, which I think was, I've got a feeling it was Valentine's Day, wasn't it? It was the 14th of Feb. And was saying what a great car it was. And I reminded him that he'd been watching it at Daytona. And he went, "What do you mean I've been watching it at Daytona?" I said, "It ran around. The Rebel Rob car was running around with the new bodywork and everything on it." "How did I miss that?" he said. So I thought, "Oh, well, the camouflage worked then."
Yeah, really.
But fair play to Aston Martin and to their teams for playing that little game, and also to the photographers as well. It was nice that car, for its street car version, still had an air of exclusivity when it was finally unveiled to the world's motoring press in February. Down to about 26 minutes to go. Improvement last time around for Kenton Cook for Random Vandals in the BMW number 92. Black and white colour scheme on that. 211.750. Also, Harry Gottsacker up to second in TCR for the Elantra number 33. 214.5. Riley Dickinson sitting in 23rd at the minute. That car's just gone out the pits. Steve Eich now at the top of TCR for the Honda Civic from Hart.
Cool.
And that's the number 89 red, white and black car. 214.3. That was a little while ago, but that car's now back out again, having been into the pits. And good to see HRT back again. Yeah. I know we say this every time, but that is literally a bunch of engineers and enthusiasts from the Honda America plant who are taking their holiday and time off to come and race motor cars. We laughingly call it a works team. That's a bit of an in joke, because they are all Honda employees. And it's a great... they've been running this for a little while now.
Yeah.
And for various different championships and specs of cars. And it's great to see them still out there with that very distinctive red, white and black colour from Honda America.
Yeah, and they don't have the budget to do the full championship, so they kind of do select events. They're at Daytona, here at Sebring. I mean, they try and do the classic
Ohio
courses.
For the 4 hour.
That's exactly right. They are really excited
about
the 4 hour race at just down the road from there. They're based, obviously, most of the employees there are based at Marysville in the plant there. Quite a few of the guys are in quality control department, otherwise research, R&D, and they come from all over the factories there in the Ohio area. It is a cool program and great to see them running well here with Steve Eich driving that car at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm Honda powered this weekend as well with the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport, the Big Blue as we've called it. Motored up yesterday from Miami in that. 280 brake horsepower from the V6. Plenty of torque. Very smooth. Yet to try it off-road. Probably won't.
Good.
Hopefully won't. Ten-speed automatic and seven different drive modes. It's been in Econ since I got it. Nothing else. Good news was we could get... it's very nicely equipped with Sirius XM, so... we've programmed in all Nick's favourite stations and listened to a lot of 90s indies music. A lot of droning stuff. A lot of whingy droning stuff. That was just from Nick, to be honest, never mind the music. I have a real world road test on that car coming up. It's a spectacular looking thing in light blue. Give us a wave if you see us.
Flash past.
Well, you know. Thank you to Honda. And to Deck Brennan as well for helping sort that out. Very cool. From Gradient. So, yet to find out what has befallen Spencer Pumpelly in that BGB, but that car's still not come back. Todd Coleman hasn't... well, he actually has turned some more laps, but he hasn't turned them for a wee while. But only done 11 laps. That's not bad, actually, because I'm only looking at 13 and 14. So whatever slight problem that car had on its outlap, that seems to have been rectified. Flat tyre for the number 99. It's the... Aston Martin.
No,
it's not, of course.
It's the BGRC, Victor Gonzalez Racing Team.
Yes, of course it is.
Hyundai.
Wrong category, hind of.
Tyler Gonzalez. Tyler Gonzalez and Victor Gonzalez. No relations. Victor's from Puerto Rico. Tyler is from right here in Florida. A youngster, very talented youngster indeed, is Tyler. He does a bunch of racing these days, and all sorts of different series as well, so great to see him. Hooking up with Victor, because the last couple of years it's been Carl Whitmer who's been driving with that team, but Carl has ties to Honda, which is what that team was aligned with last year, and with Victor switching to Hyundai and a new team based in Montreal, which is where the Whitmers are from, and the Whitmer's family is part of the ownership group of the Montreal Motorsports Group, which is running a couple of cars here in Honda Honda TCRs in the class here this weekend. Carl's switched across to that team, and we're driving this weekend along with Dai Yoshihara, the Formula Drift legend, and they had a really strong first weekend of the season in. At Daytona, they ended up in the seventh position, but we're running a lot better than that in the early stages of the race.
Followers of Automatic Racing and the 09 will be delighted to know that Rob Eklund is touring around quite happily and doesn't have a problem. 09 running nicely. The 99 just coming through the Jean de Bian bends now to hopefully get back to the pits. In fact, it's turned. It is pulled off the course now at the Jean de Bian bends, or just before that, actually, between turn 14 and 15. Penalty for the number 44, but it's only a warning at this point. Pit lane speed violation for Moise Juretsky for Baby Bull Racing and the 44 Porsche.
Four fastest in this session, the time set by Michael Cooper very, very early on. For most of the teams out there right now, where the drivers are, yeah, it's a pro-am class, is Michelin Pilot Challenge. Some of the teams have two drivers that are both kind of acknowledged and, you know, particularly accomplished, but the majority have one driver who is a pro and one who is, you know, has had less success in his career. For most of those instances, which is Moise Juretsky and Michael Cooper being a perfect example, the pro drove the first few laps and hopped out of the car and let the lesser experienced driver, in this case Moise Juretsky, get some more track time in there, because Michael Cooper, somebody of his experience, really only needs a few laps to figure out whether the car is working to its ultimate capabilities or not. And once he's satisfied with that, then get the non-pro in there and turn some laps and get himself closer to the ultimate pace.
Andy Lally improves in the number 12 car that we were talking about earlier on.
Yeah, it was his co-driver Nick Tucker who drove the first part of the session, so that team elected to go the other way around, and now Andy has hopped in for the final 20 minutes or so, and as you say, he's just improved his time in at number 12 TCR Hyundai. So how many Hyundais have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Hyundai Elantra N TCRs in TCR field. Lots of them. Robert Wickens, the defending series champion in car number 33 for Brian Herder Autosport with Kerb Agajanian. Number 33 team, they achieved their ultimate goal last year, which was to win a championship. What they didn't do was win a race.
Extraordinary, wasn't it?
Yeah, much to Robert's chagrin. I mean, they came close on numerous occasions, but it was consistency and metronomic pace that enabled them to win the championship. They had, I think it was, 6 second place finishes during the year last season, which, you know, put them in contention and ultimately to be able to win that TCR championship.
Now he's just taking out the Alpha, the number 5. That was Dr. William Talley. Warning for the pit exit. It is quite a long run out of the pit, and you have to steer drivers right of the white blend line. That's because turn one here is insanely fast.
Yeah. Number 33 team last year, John, at 6 second places, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. In 10 races, yeah, that's pretty good. And that sort of consistent. I mean, they only won the championship by 60 points over their teammates, Mason Phillippe and Mark Wilkins, who annoyingly won 3 times, including the finale, but it wasn't enough to overcome that consistency of number 33 car that won yet another championship for Brian Herder Autosport with Kerb Agajanian.
It does absolutely, and I have no issue with this, by the way. The point here rewards consistency.
Yeah.
And, you know, that particularly when you've got two drivers over a long season, you've got to get the car back. You've got it. There's no room now to have a bad weekend and have a low or a no point score, is there? Yeah. A few years ago, we might have said in some of these races and some of the one-week series that IMSA sanctioned, well, you can probably get away with one bad weekend. You can't now. You absolutely cannot, because the depth of field is so tight.
Yeah, and the reliability as well.
Well, that's a good point, yeah.
In GS, however, contrastingly last year, everybody had at least one bad weekend, and some of them more than one, so it ended up being again coming down to the final moments of the final race. There were three teams and three different driving three different cars that all had an opportunity to win the championship. Ultimately, it was Robbie Foley and Vin Barletta for Turner Motorsport that took the spoils by just 10 points over the Rebel Rock Racing Chevy Camaro, as it was then, switched now to Aston Martin because the Chevy is out of eligibility for the 2024 season. But just 10 points between them, and only a few points farther back, only 30 points farther back in the standings at the end of the year, Kenny Morello and Christian Szymczak had led the point standings for much of the season.
Okay, two cars now stopped out on track. Yes, that's right, because we know that Tyler Gonzalez didn't get any further than turn 14, and earlier on in the session, Spencer Pumpelly over on that side of the track as well. So they will have a wee bit more work to do in the subsequent sessions. We've only got 15 minutes left. RS1 going out again with Stephen McAleer behind the wheel. Best of 2 minutes 10 set by his teammate Trent Hindman. Jesse Lazar boards the Motorsports in Action McLaren, fresh from his double victory last weekend on the streets of St. Pete in the same car.
Yeah, and Michael De Quesada, who's co-driving this weekend with Jesse, he was there last weekend just soaking up all the information that was coming in off the track with Jesse at the wheel. And it's Michael who set the time in that car in this first practice session at 2 minutes 10.614 for Michael. Second fastest overall to that RS1 Porsche, kind of a 28.
It's a bit of a rule reversal, isn't it, for the GS drivers who take part in both Michelin Pilot Challenge and VP Racing Sports Car Challenge. If you're a GS driver here, you're the top of the food chain, aren't you? Yeah. You are doing the overtaking on the TCRs, whereas as a GSX driver in VP, you're being caught fairly rapidly, particularly around the 1.8 miles of St. Pete's, by LMP3 cars, making their lap times in very, very different ways indeed. I did think the sound of the V8s rumbling around the streets of St. Pete actually worked very well last weekend, and it looked to be a big crowd favourite. Yeah. Two races on Saturday, wasn't it, last weekend? Yeah. Week ago. Yeah. Had a busy weekend of sport last weekend with that, and trying to fit in watching MotoGP and Formula One and all.
Seen that yet?
Have you not seen that?
No, hopefully it's... I didn't see F1 either last weekend.
MotoGP under the lights at LaSalle. It's good. Moto2 was excellent as well. It was a bit bizarre for me because I was at LaSalle the previous weekend, of course, for the World Endurance Championship. My 93rd full-size circuit I've been to. That's very often I tick off a new one now. Gradually inching towards three figures. But it was a bit bizarre, because it looked totally different with the bikes on it than it did with the World Endurance Championship cars on. Beautiful facility. And just recently been refurbed, of course, for Formula One. Under 15 minutes to go, coming down to 11, in fact. We have 31 cars on the track at the moment. Hit that 30. We've just had somebody pull into the pit lane. It was Rory Vandersteur, actually. Just came in there for the Vandersteur Racing Aston Martin Vantage. So this is the first free practice. Times, in theory, shouldn't count for anything here. But, of course, if things go awry in following sessions, there is always an opportunity for the series to take a full practice session into consideration. Although once we get into the meat of the season, grids, if we don't get enough green flag time in the qualifying, the grids tend to be set by championship positions. That's not a given. A little off at turn 13 for the number 47 of Matt Travis, who's on his outlap for Nola Sports, just pushing maybe a little too hard in that multicoloured Porsche GT4 Cayman. That's continued. It's a little overcast still. Temperatures holding out. 73 on the concrete, 79 in the air. That is track temp of 23 Celsius, 26 in the air. So that's just going up a little bit, that air temperature. Suspect that'll be down to whether the sun is out from behind a cloud or back in. We've got Simpsons clouds at the minute. If you think of the opening credits of The Simpsons, that's what we've got above us at the moment at Sebring International Raceway. Not at all threatening. Another warning as Moisey Oretzky went out for baby bull racing. That was another pit lane speed violation.
Oh.
But just plus one, so getting a warning at the moment. This is just race control. Well, just
drive through that time for number 44.
Ah.
Because the first one was a warning, so that was the second
one. You are absolutely right. It's a warning for the number 93 then, this time around. Yeah, good spot there, Jeremy.
So, 93 is the one of the two Montreal Motorsports Hondas. Carl Whitmer.
This is
7,000 at the moment.
This is race control, just basically setting their stall out and saying to drivers, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. Rory Vandister out of the number 19. And Valentin Asklo has got back. And he did start the session briefly.
Yep.
And ran a few laps in that Vandister Racing GT4 Aston Martin.
Yeah, and did set that time with a 2:12.1. Improvement there for Josh Green, who's up to 14th in the Thayers competition Mercedes. 2:11.932 for him, and right behind him on the track seems to be Mackay Stevens, another Mercedes. That's the JMF Motorsports car that made its debut in this championship at Daytona with a very strong top 10 finish for Mackay Stevens and Jesse Webb.
You said something that caught my ear earlier on, Jeremy, and then I forgot to follow it up. Are we right in thinking then that the only Evo version of the Aston Martin is the Rebel Rock car? Everybody else is running the previous iteration?
Correct, and that'll be the case for this whole season. I think they're not planning to run that car in GT4, at least not in the States, in GT4, until next year. So that's going to be the only Aston, I believe, of the Evo Aston.
So do they get a slightly different balance
of
performance?
Yes, they do, yeah. Yeah, that car this weekend, there's been some tweaks to the balance performance since Daytona, because Daytona is a one-off.
It's an outlier,
isn't it? It's an outlier, so they have a different balance performance there. But compared to Daytona, the new Aston is running 45 kilos lighter than it was, and it's quite a bit less small fuel tank as well, 7 litres less fuel tank. So that's running at 1495 kilograms. The regular Aston, the non-Evo version, is actually running the same weight now as the Evo version, interestingly, at 1495, but that's only 20 kilograms less than it was at Daytona. That's kind of curious, to be honest. One would have thought the newer car with the same engine before, and assuming it would have been improved, but running the same weight. The older car.
I had a good chat with Adam Carter from Aston Martin Racing and Performance, and about the changes to the cars, and indeed talked to Ian James as well in Qatar about the GT3 and the GT4 versions of that new Vantage. The differences in the car, particularly in the GT4 car, mainly been made for ease of servicing and to allow gentleman drivers, non-pro drivers, to keep the car in a competitive window for longer and make it more user-friendly, is how it was described to me. There's a bit of aero change on the car, and that's changed the balance a little bit. Now, I sort of raised an eyebrow at that, because long, long time ago, even two iterations back now, when I drove the GT4, I thought it was a relatively straightforward car to get on with, and indeed the GT3, for someone who isn't a driver. But they've spoken to their customers, and they feel that that's where the changes will be made. The top guys will always get the best out of the car, Jeremy. That's the way it is. The pros in a Pro-Am class will be wringing the last 1 and 2 and 3% out of it. They feel that the changes that have been made will allow the non-pro driver to get closer to the pro's time more of the time, without having to push over the edge, which is interesting.
So is it the GT3 car then that's Evo that's pretty much all new then?
Yeah. Okay. There's, I don't think that there is a there's a conversion kit for the GT3, so okay. You can take the current car and its mainly body panels and a couple of tweaks. It's all electronics now. Whereas you and I, you know, somebody would have been said, "Oh, we've got a new cylinder head," or, you know, "We've changed the carburetor jets or something." It's all done on data sticks and ECUs nowadays, which is black magic to me. Very clever. I'm not in any way deriding it at all. But that's what they've been working hard on, and they've given themselves plenty of work at Aston Martin, because they've redesigned those two cars and they're starting to get them out to their customers now. They're competing in here in IMSA in the FIA World Endurance Championship, across plenty of GT3 and GT4 across the world. And, of course, they're working hard on the Valkyrie project as well, which that car has been running, not the finished car, what they call a mule, which they've taken a Valkyrie AMR, which was their track day car anyway, the track day version of the Valkyrie, and some of the requirements that they and changes they will have to make because of the regulations have been built into that, and that car has been doing some testing. So it's a very busy time for Aston Martin Racing, for Aston Martin Performance. Every bit of the Aston Martin knowledge base has been accessed for that, what will be a GTP car here, LMH in WEC, at Silverstone with F1. They're based there at Pro Drive at Banbury, and at Aston Martin Racing just up the road at Gaydon, Aston Martin rather, up at Gaydon. So they're doing a lot at the moment. And by the way, the new car, if you do get a chance to have a look at it now that it is in its proper livery in this category, it's absolutely stunning. A few nips and tucks on the old Vantage bodywork. Down to the last 2 minutes here, Jeremy, and it looks like it's... Thanks very much. We'll put our feet up and have a coffee down at RS1. That Trent Hindman time from earlier on has not been challenged. 0.3 seconds back to the McLaren of Motorsports in Action in second. Jesse Lazar still out in that 69 car. Then another 0.3 seconds back to the Aston Martin of Team TGM, the 46 car. Porsche again in fourth position, Moise Uretsky. And Spencer Pumpelly, despite the problems, that car still has the fifth best time. And it's been off the track for a very long time now. In TCR, the Honda Civic FK7 still holds sway there. In 24th position, as we have under a minute to go. And that time is a 2:14.351. Ahead of the Hyundai, number 33. And the Audi, Gavin Ernstone, number 61 car in third. Is that Gavin's time as well? Because that car's improved. Because it was... I had a feeling it was somebody else. Can't I scroll down? However, that's your top three as we come round to the checkered flag to end this one-hour session for the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge. It's the Alan J Automotive Network 120, which we'll be racing for. You'll have that in sound for everyone, and sound and vision for those of you outside the US later on in the weekend. There's the checkered flag, and the first car to see it was Daniel Morad for Windward Racing. They'll end up in seventh position unless someone improves the number 57 AMG GT4 to 11.25 all is what they will be credited with, subject to any post-session technical inspections. Valentin Asclaw just gone through there for Van der Steur Racing. Jesse Lazar for Motorsport in Action. Doesn't improve that time around. Seeing if anybody is improving. I don't think so. It looks like they've done some long runs towards the end, second half of this session. So a couple of stories to follow up then. Not least BGB Motorsport out early with that number 38. Spencer Pumpelly, though, still clocking the fifth fastest time. And then we had the puncture for Tyler Gonzalez that prevented the number 99 Hyundai Elantra of Victor Gonzalez Racing completing too many laps. And in fact, they'll finish in 13th position. Just checking who's to come round. Let's wait for Frank Depew to come round. Number 71 car for Rebel Rock Racing in the Vantage. Sixth position for that car at the moment with a 2:11.237. That was Robin Liddell's time from early on. And he should be coming out of Sunset now in behind a little gaggle of cars that includes the number 59. There it goes. And I'm waiting. And there is that dark green car. You're right, Jeremy. That looks a picture with the light orange, orangey red striping on that car. That's not a colourway I've seen on the Aston before with that. That's lovely. Works really well. So there we are then. We'll follow up on a couple of stories. Jeremy Shaw was alongside me, John Hindhoff, in the Global Broadcast Centre. And we'll have more from the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge throughout the rest of the day and through the weekend to the Alan J Automotive 120, which we'll have live for you on Friday, live here on 100.9 FM and around the world on RS2 IMSA Radio.
This programme is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.